For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. When we think about substance use disorder, much in the news now is about opiates such as heroin and fentanyl and benzodiazepines such as Xanax and diazepam or Valium. My guest today is going to talk about another substance use disorder that was big in the 80s but has never gone away. I recently spoke with Dr. William Stoops, professor at the UK College of Medicine Department of Behavioral Science, Department of Psychiatry, and the Center on Drug and Alcohol Research, about a recent grant regarding cocaine use disorder and its treatment.
We used to have cocaine abuse and cocaine dependence, but when we got the new Diagnostic Statistical Manual from the American Psychiatric Association, it changed to cocaine use disorder. And so, yes, we did get a new grant that we're very excited about.
Tell me about that. So is this involving diagnosis, treatment? What sort of aspects of the disorder?
Sure. So it is a clinical trial, so it's about treatment. But interestingly enough, the trial isn't really specifically about developing a cocaine use disorder treatment. You know, we don't have a medication for cocaine use disorder. We have some behavioral interventions that work but aren't widely used. So we're capitalizing on knowing about these behavioral interventions that work, and we're going to use that. What we're really more interested in is evaluating how changes in cocaine use can promote beneficial outcomes across a spectrum. Because the dogma is that abstinence is the only acceptable endpoint for treatment. That if you're going to treat somebody who has cocaine use disorder or, you know, some other drug use disorder, cannabis use disorder, that they have to be completely abstinent to be successful in treatment. We don't have data on whether reductions in drug use could also be an acceptable endpoint, especially whether they promote beneficial outcomes. So that's what this study is about. That's what it's breaking new ground on. We're going to look at sort of a control group for whom we don't expect cocaine use to change very much. And then we've got two levels of treatment, one more intense than the other. We expect that, you know, the more intense group will actually probably become abstinent during the treatment delivery. The other group will probably reduce their use. And so we're going to look at these three groups. We're going to look at their cardiovascular health. So we've got biomarkers of cardiovascular health planned. We are looking at ECGs. We're looking at heart rate and blood pressure even. We're looking at immune function. We're looking at to me, the most important thing as a psychologist is psychosocial function. So are folks, do they have better global functioning? Is their cognitive performance improved? Are they more able to engage with their families? Are they less engaged with criminal justice issues? So that's sort of the broad idea of what we're doing and what we're the thrust of the study is about.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Bill Stoops of the UK College of Medicine Department of Behavioral Science about a new grant studying cocaine use disorder and its treatment. And I guess lost in the discussion in popular media might be the fact that cocaine use disorder is still with us. We seem to be focusing a lot, and for good reasons, on opiates and benzodiazepines, drugs like that. Yeah. But this is something that's really never gone away, even after the 80s.
It is. That's exactly correct. So, yes, we are very focused on the opioid epidemic, and we should be. It is a substantial problem that we face and has resulted in, you know, I'm going to get this not exactly right, but the average age life expectancy that it's, you know, it's knocked a couple months off life expectancy, the opioid use disorder. So absolutely a problem. But cocaine has not gone away. About 1 to 1.5% of the United States reports current use of cocaine based on our National Household Survey, which is actually likely an underestimate. I read a really interesting paper last week comparing overdose, which is what we are hearing so much about with the opioid use opioid epidemic, that actually opioid overdose in non-Hispanic white people, the rates are actually quite comparable to overdose from cocaine in non-Hispanic black people. So that while we are hearing so much about the opioid epidemic, cocaine has been causing overdoses at a similar rate, but in a different population.
Well, and one of the problems in my forensic pathology world is that even without a, quote, overdose, end quote, for drugs, stimulant drugs like cocaine, methamphetamine, any level of those drugs can potentially have disastrous effects cardiologically, that sort of thing. In fact, heart dysrhythmias or irregular heartbeats or something we often see in that world. And so are there any extrapolations from cocaine use disorder looking at other stimulants as well?
Sure. So, you know, this study is really focused on cocaine, but you know, if we lived in an area that we had more prevalent prevalence of methamphetamine use, we could do this. You know, we could do this study and look at methamphetamine use reduction because, yes, stimulants produce one of the most concerning things they produce is cardiovascular insult, and I think that that is contributing to overdose or ER visits or mm-hmm. you know just poor cardiovascular health because these stimulants. One of the main things they do is increase heart rate and blood pressure, and you're doing that over and over and over again for a lifetime, you really are seeing just big cardiovascular problems. And that's really the primary outcome of this study is what does cardiovascular health look like? And so I was really thrilled to be able to partner with folks in internal medicine and cardiovascular medicine to really get some great measures of cardiovascular health on our mm-hmm. on our subjects as we see their changes in cocaine use.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Bill Stoops of the UK College of Medicine Department of Behavioral Science about a new grant studying cocaine use disorder and its treatment. One aspect, I don't know if your study is looking at this at all, it has a very low incidence and prevalence, but it's disastrous when it occurs, is a phenomenon that emergency physicians, law enforcement officers, medical examiners are aware of, and yet it still has not made the DSM-5. It's something we call excited delirium. There's other terms, acute exhaustive mania, that sort of thing. Is that something that you're seeing in people with cocaine use disorder?
I think that folks maybe don't characterize it in those terms. I think in the substance use disorder field, I think a lot of what we're thinking about is we're terming them maybe psychotic episodes, mm-hmm. But you know they're very time limited. They're very much drug associated, and we will capture capture whether folks have had a visit to the ER because they've had you know an event that looks like a psychotic episode or looks like a manic episode. We are certainly going to gather the information about that through structured clinical interviews. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else, Dr. Stoops, I haven't asked you about that you'd want folks to know about?
No, I think that we've covered it. Of course, if you think that you might know somebody who would qualify, our information is on clinicaltrials.gov, so they can certainly check out the study there. We post all of our all the information about the study there for folks to check out for contact or if they want to just know more about the study. Clinicaltrials.gov is a great place to go.
My thanks today to Dr. Bill Stoops of the UK College of Medicine Department of Behavioral Science for talking with us about a new grant studying cocaine use disorder and its treatment. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at wuky.org.